Thank you. Be seated. The orders of the court are pronounced herein and are posted in the clerk's office and outside the door and available for your inspection. This morning there will be three causes submitted to the court on oral argument. In the order in which they will be presented, they are as follows. Murdoch versus Murdoch from Wathaw County. Greathouse versus Charter National Bank Southwest from Harris County, and Moore versus Boyer from Harris County. In each of these causes, the court has allowed 15 minutes for petitioner and for respondent to present oral arguments. The arguments are being recorded for the convenience of the court by audio methods, antique methods, and if anyone desires to listen to the tapes of these arguments, you may make application with our clerk. Counsel in the second and third causes should remain nearby so that we can proceed to your cause at the proper time, but you do not have to remain in the courtroom. We will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each of these arguments, and of course we'll complete all three submissions before lunch. Court is ready to hear oral argument from petitioner in Murdoch versus Murdoch.
May I please the court, Mr. James P. Wheeler will present argument for petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Please, court. This case was heard in Rockwall County as a divorce case. This is a divorce case where the petitioner has denied and denies that he's the father of the respondent's child, although the child was conceived and born during the marriage. The petitioner answered the respondent's petition for divorce in the trial court with an express denial of paternity, and requested the pretrial proceedings and blood test pursuant to Chapter 13 of the Texas Family Code. The court ordered the test, and they were filed with the court prior to trial, and the test excluded the petitioner as the biological father. The case proceeded to trial before the court there, and the blood test results were introduced into evidence by the testifying expert who actually did the test and who presented the report, which testimony excluded the petitioner as the biological father.
Counsel, can you tell us why the pretrial conference is set forth under Section 1304A of the Family Code was never complied with?
No, Your Honor. I was not involved in the trial of the case, and I don't honestly know why it was not complied with. I have at least in looking at the family code exactly, it doesn't specifically set out what you are to do in a divorce case. It says you're to dismiss a paternity case. And it may be that it was just oversight or negligence, or it may be that the court determined that even if they had the blood test there, they were still going to have a trial. And just didn't strike the paternity part of it. The respondent mother in this case introduced pictures and evidence of the good relationship that the father had had with the child and swore she had had no intimate relations with any other man. The trial court, after the trial was held, ordered briefs on the paternity matter, and after it got those briefs, found the appellant to be the father and ordered him to pay child support. The Dallas Court of Appeals then affirmed the trial court's judgment and its opinion. And, of course, a motion rehearing was filed, and writ of error was granted, which brings us to this hearing. Going back to what I had just mentioned concerning that 12.06 of the Family Code points you in a divorce case to the Chapter 13, and 13.05 does say at the conclusion of the pretrial conference, if the court finds the test showed by clear and convincing evidence that the father is not the father of the child, the court shall dismiss the suit with prejudice.
Court of Appeals held not one scintilla of evidence was introduced as to how the test was conducted. What's your response to that?
Well, the court did do that, and it went directly off to say that this properly conducted was terribly important, and that the Supreme Court had emphasized that in a blood test. And then you've got to, the next thing that brings me to is, what is a properly conducted blood test? I've reread this several times on what this expert testified to. First, the testimony came in without objection. Qualifications seemed to be overwhelming. And on cross-examination, and of course the report came in, which indicated who had been tested and when they were tested, and the same expert that did the testifying was in the courtroom with the parties. And the expert testified on cross-examination concerning the type of testing, by how they eliminated the antigens, and how that, and described in some detail how that Mr. Murdoch could not be the father, and under severe cross-examination testified that they did not make a mistake, and that they had a system to eliminate mistakes, which by repetition of various parties, and testified firmly there was no mistake. So my answer is that I think a properly conducted blood test is a blood test where there is no mistake.
Counsel, were they using HLA or DNA testing?
I don't know that I'm qualified to do very much of this answering, except to say go by the testimony of the expert. What do you mean by eliminating possibilities?
There are two major types of testing. DNA is by far the most accurate.
May I refer to the report, perhaps I can. This was the blood center at Wadley that did the testing. I'm sorry to say that I can't call the name of the test. I know that they tested for seven possibilities in the blood and found the probability of paternity zero. But I don't know the difference.
Was there an issue in the trial court as to who drew the blood?
No, sir. There was no objection and no issue about who drew the blood.
Is there any evidence as to who drew the blood, or is there any problem in the chain of custody?
No, sir. The witness testified that she did the test. There was no question about who drew the blood brought up in the trial court, as far as I can tell from the transcript.
So they were not contesting for half, they got somebody else's blood.
Pardon?
They were not saying somebody else's blood.
That question was not brought up. No objection was made along those lines. The person testifying did testify that she did the test. And there was no objection, no question brought up along those lines about whether they had got the blood from some other person or not. The report indicates that all three parties were tested on the same day, but it doesn't indicate the time they were tested.
We have some blood tests. The Court of Appeals says they were not properly conducted. And we have some testimony from Mrs. Murdoch. She had no access to no sexual relations with any other man. And we had some witnesses testify that the child was a spit in the image of his father.
That's about it. The father-in-law testified that the child was a spitting image of his father. And we have that's about the size of it, I think.
The husband had a vasectomy in this case.
Yes, he had.
There was no objection to the admission of the blood test no questions raised about the testing method, the taking of the sample, the tests that were used, or the expertise of the individual technicians involved.
No, Your Honor.
There was evidence that there was a triple check process, as I understand.
That's correct.
To make sure that nobody could make any error. There was redundancy built into the testing procedures.
That's correct. There was.
This was not objected to at trial.
No, Your Honor.
And the trial court, its own volition, said that what's the term he used? Properly conducted. The tests weren't properly conducted. But
well,
there was never any objection at trial to how the tests were conducted.
Right? That's right. The properly conducted argument came up in the court of appeal.
It was not brought up in trial.
No, sir.
They assumed that the trial court rejected the evidence because they weren't properly conducted.
I'm not sure whether that's what they assumed, but that it wasn't brought up
in
trial.
The trial court said that they have a burden to establish that the tests were properly conducted if they're contesting the attorney. Is that correct? That's basically what the trial court of appeals did. If you got the burden, you didn't meet your burden.
The court of appeals said that the person disclaiming paternity had to prove the test was properly conducted, and it wasn't done.
Well, there was evidence of how the tests were conducted.
That's correct.
There was never any question about how the samples were taken, who did the testing methods, testing procedures, the redundancy of the tests, the safeguards that were taken, or the expertise of the people involved, was there?
No, sir.
Did the Court of Appeals set out any standard for determining whether tests were properly conducted, or did they just say, hey, this doesn't meet whatever the standard is?
No, sir. I think that's one of the problems. The trial court did not set out a standard. In one of the cases I read, I believe, out of San Antonio, some of the things that have been mentioned, I did read about, but that did not come about. No standard was set out in the Court of Appeals that we could tell.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear oral argument from respondents.
Thank you,
Mr. Court.
Mr. Wilson Morgan is in argument for respondent.
May it please the court, let me answer all those questions because I was there. A pretrial conference was not requested, therefore it was never held. There were two continuances in the matter, one for bringing in an expert witness to testify of the blood testing, and the other continuance was to submit briefs for the trial court. Because the issue of the pretrial conference was never raised at the appeal court level, I submit that for this purpose of this hearing, it's moot, because if you don't raise it at the appeal court level, it's not an issue to be brought forward.
Counsel, isn't the issue of whether or not the test was properly conducted merely an evidentiary predicate?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Which is waived if not objected to.
Correct. That's correct. The other answer to the other question, there was no evidence of how the blood test was conducted, and not one scintilla of evidence was introduced, because I knew going into that trial that the person that was testifying was not the person that conducted blood testing. So I submit that if I asked her questions of how the blood test was done, she would only tell me what she knew of some other blood test. So I purposely did not ask the question. The issue of whether it was...
Well, then we assume that she did. You strategically decided, I'm not going to ask the question if the person, the expert testifying, drew the blood herself or not.
No, sir, not exactly.
Is that correct? You said, I'm not going to ask that question.
No, sir. I knew that she was not the person that conducted the test. Therefore, I assumed that if I asked her a question of how it was done, then she would only tell me what someone else had done. That's why I did not ask the question.
Counsel,
the issue of whether it...
Pardon? The pretrial conference is really a method of summary judgment procedure on paternity testing, is it not?
That's correct, Your Honor, under 1306 of the Family Code.
Right. Now, at the trial itself, was there anything which normally would have been introduced at a pretrial conference which was not introduced into evidence at the trial on the merits?
In my opinion, no, sir. The question was asked about the blood grouping or DNA. It was blood grouping only. DNA tests were not conducted. the person testifying...
I understand, though, in this case, both parents are type O, and the child is type B.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's correct.
So that you don't have to get as far as DNA testing in this case.
That's correct.
You only have to group. There's no... It's impossible for both parents to be type O and the child to be type B.
That's correct. The question came up about what the mother testified. She testified that she was had access to the father only for the period of the marriage and that the son was the product of the marriage. The look-alike was from the result of 10 pictures that I introduced, that the father did look like the child. There was never an issue of adultery. She was never charged with adultery, nor any evidence ever submitted that showed that she was.
We have here some divine act.
Well, could have been divine conception.
It's impossible that he's the father, but somehow or other she conceived.
Well, divine conception, I don't know.
Whether the test was properly conducted was merely a predicate to the admission of the report and was waived if not objected to, why don't you lose?
I'm sorry, I don't really understand what you're saying.
If whether the test was properly conducted to is merely a predicate to the admission of the report and is waived if not objected to, why don't you lose?
Well, and looking back on it in reflection now, it was the burden of proof on the plaintiff to show that it was done properly. I didn't pick up on it at the very moment that he failed to make that. But if he fails to make the burden of proof...
Well, I thought in answer to Justice Cornyn's question earlier, you said that it was merely a predicate to the admission of the report, and if not objected to, was waived.
Well, the trial court judge took all the evidence into consideration.
Well, I just want to know about this properly conducted first, and then you can tell me about
it. Well, there was no scintilla evidence ever introduced at any part of the trial that showed that it was properly conducted. I did not pick up on that point at the time.
What is properly conducted?
Beg your pardon?
What is properly conducted, as I recall?
Well, I suppose...
They went to the hospital sometime at the same time frame, at least within the same 24-hour period. The tests were conducted at the same time by standard testing procedures. There was redundancy built in. They were triple-checked. They were signed off on by not only the person who testified, but her supervisor and the supervising physician. And there was no question as to the accuracy of this test. And here again, unless there's some problem with the chain of custody, which was not raised, you've got a simple blood grouping test. It's a relatively simple procedure because you don't have to get into DNA and dividing within the blood groups and even down to the point of positive or negative. O and O cannot make B.
I agree with everything you said except the chain of custody. That was not a requirement in this case. I don't think that how the blood testing or whether it was properly done or not is and the criteria by which they did it, it just never came up. I did cross-examine that witness pretty strong on the results of that test and what they concluded from those results. And that's when I got into the cross-examination of did they make a mistake. She said they were absolutely perfect. They couldn't make a mistake. And I submitted that she might have made a mistake.
Why isn't that testimony some evidence of properly conducted?
Well, that was not addressing the procedure by which the test was done, only as to the results of the test.
Well, it's sort of implicit, isn't it? If you don't make a mistake in the results, you didn't make a mistake in the testing.
Well, I was submitting to them that they did make a mistake.
And she testified to the contrary.
Well, maybe so, but I did argue the fact that the results were not correct as far as we were concerned.
Was there evidence of a mistake? Or just your suggestion of a mistake?
All the evidence and the greater weight preponderance of all the evidence of the trial that the man was the father of the child. We had 10 different...
No biological evidence of paternity. There is physiological evidence that he could not be the father. He had a vasectomy.
And
he could not procreate. And there was biological evidence that he could not be the father because of the blood types.
To that point, I objected to the introduction of anything on the procedure for a vasectomy. They had a piece of paper which was excluded from the trial, but there was no evidence that a vasectomy was ever done, nor that it was successful. That was excluded from the trial.
Did your father testify?
He testified that he had a vasectomy, but there was no evidence presented, to documentary evidence presented, that it was done or that it was successful.
Well, did his ex-wife testify also that he did have a vasectomy and after the vasectomy they had any more children?
No, they had two children by a previous wife.
I understand,
and
but did his ex-wife testify? Did the woman who bore him two children in another marriage testify that he had had a vasectomy?
Yes, sir, she did. But I don't know how she would have known except that what somebody had told her. I hope that answers the questions. Now, in point of error number one, that a blood test proved that the husband is not the father of the child by a matter of law, the Dallas Appeal Court said there was five burdens that they had to meet in order to prove that. One, that the burden, that the evidence clear and concise. Two, that the blood test was properly conducted, and that the evidence was sufficient to support his position, and to timely complain of trial court errors and omissions, and to show evidence of his vasectomy, if any, was successful. They failed to meet the burden on all five of those issues.
Counsel, let me address what it to me is one of the biggest problems. They're both type O and the child is type B. Can you address that?
Does that information only arise out of the blood test, or do we know that independently?
Say the same again.
Both parents were type O.
Correct.
The child was type B.
Correct.
Have you got a good explanation for that?
No, sir, I do not. I do not know if... I cannot explain the blood test. The woman swore to me that she had no access to any other man, and I believed her. I went into this trial with a firm conviction that this was the mother of the child and he was the father of the child. I cannot explain the blood test.
See, no, this is a pretty drastic result of the child, because if we were to reverse the Court of Appeal, the child would be declared a bastard. Was there any effort to retest by anybody?
No, sir.
You didn't want another test?
Well, I can only go on his testimony from the when he testified the witness stand. That was one of the things that threw us. He testified on the witness stand that he wanted this son as a child, this child as a son. He was proud to have the child as a son. And for a long period of time, nobody in the world knew that this was not his son, even his own parents.
Yeah, but why should he be obligated to pay child support if it's not his child?
Well, there's nothing inherently unique about adjudicating the father, a husband, the father of the child. This court has done it on two occasions. Where a person adjudicates himself the father of the child by his actions and omissions, I use the theory of detrimental reliance and latches and estoppel is my theory of law in the trial court, because he proved himself the father of the child in 10 different ways.
Counsel, starting in 1973, the statutes in Texas were amended to allow proof that a person is not the biological father. And ever since then, we've amended the statutes approximately four times. And so a lot of those cases which you refer to are older cases.
Yes, sir, that's correct. But it all boils down to this court's ruling that if the evidence of the blood test is properly conducted, then it's exclusive and the case should not go to child, to trial. It should be done in the pretrial hearing. A pretrial hearing was not done in this case.
Whose burden was it to request a pretrial hearing?
Who did not request it?
Whose burden was it to request a hearing?
The person wanting the hearing. The respondent in this case.
Well, you knew that the test showed that Mr. Murdoch was not the father.
No, sir, not until we got into those briefs. I didn't know it until the last minute before we submitted a brief to the trial court.
Counsel, 1304A says the court shall call the pretrial hearing.
That's correct.
Do you know why the court didn't do it?
No, sir. Then the appeal court chastised the trial court for not calling that pretrial hearing. They addressed that point. It was because of circumstances, I assume. We had to
penalize Mr. Murdoch for the trial court's failure to call a hearing.
I beg your pardon?
You want to penalize Mr. Murdoch for the trial court's failure to call the hearing
that the family court obligated him to call.
No, sir, I don't put it in that light. I just say that all the actions of the father adjudicated himself the father of that child. And many cases have supported that position, even this trial court.
Despite all the physical evidence, despite all the biological evidence, despite the scientific material impossibility that he is the biological father, you're saying that his actions in assuming a paternal relationship with the child established paternity.
Yes, sir, that's correct. Because the test was not...
he behaved responsibly towards the child as a father would.
Correct. In addition to that, the trial court had 10 different things to consider as evidence, and because the blood test was not conducted properly, it was just another piece of evidence. The income tax records were introduced showing that he'd used the child as a legal exemption.
Well, was he providing for the child, providing shelter for the child, buying clothes and groceries
yes,
for the child?
Yes, he was. Correct. He was performing the functions of the father.
A legal dependent.
Well, he was performing all the legal functions of the father. The birth certificate was introduced showing the child was given his name.
So what you're asking us to do really is engage in a legal fiction to overcome a physical impossibility.
No, sir, I'm asking you to uphold the appeal court's decision. The appeal court ruled that because the blood test was not properly conducted, it was just another piece of evidence for the trial court to consider. And in doing so, he used all of the evidence. And the greater weight preponderance of evidence showed that that husband was the father of the child. The second point of error that this Texas Supreme... Well, I see my time's up. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. Is there rebuttal testimony? I mean, is there rebuttal argument time reserved for that? Yes. You may proceed.
We are, of course, dealing in an area of exclusion, which scientifically the courts have held we are able to deal in positively, as opposed to showing who absolutely is the father. Our position is that the trial judge's inquiry, when he got into the trial, at least when he didn't do the pretrial, his first inquiry should have been limited to just the blood test and not just all of the evidence at all. And having, at the point that he made the determination that the blood test did exclude the father positively, then that is legally conclusive, as we understand it in the family code. That's our position. I don't know what it means when they don't do the pretrial, but when he went ahead and took the same evidence, it does look like at that point in time he should have limited his first inquiry to determining whether or not the blood test was admissible and was clear and convincing evidence, and having made that determination, would not have then have been able to look at the, should not have looked at things like photographs and other things. And there is a case out of Houston or San Antonio, one of those cases that deal with the estoppel question has been dealt with by one of the Court of Appeals, I believe, and rejected because of what the legislature has done. And in a court out of Dallas, what the Dallas court appears does to us, Justice Baker out of Dallas in another case in his dissent said excluding or arbitrarily lessening the weight of reliable blood test evidence simply makes proof of biological impossibility more difficult, not irrelevant. And that's what's going happen if the Court of Appeals decision is allowed to stand, and you put a plaintiff in a position of having to go in and right now we don't know what the guidelines are on proving up what is properly conducted blood test. So best conclusion we could come to is it's one that doesn't have any error in it. Now, I did, Justice, look up the, this is a blood grouping. I checked that in the transcript. I'm sorry, I didn't know that word.
If we disagree with the Court of Appeals, do we have, can we render the case, or do we have to send it back to the Court of Appeals? Are there some factual sufficiency points that were not dealt with by the Court of Appeals?
Well, it appears that it can be rendered, but I'm not sure. That evidence came in unobjected to about the blood test. All right. But
the Court of Appeals made a decision on a matter of law.
They didn't take it as conclusive evidence, and I understood their reason to be because they held that it wasn't properly, no evidence that it was properly conducted, despite evidence that it didn't have any errors in it. So we're dealing with uncontested blood test evidence, at least. So perhaps it can be rendered since we are dealing with uncontested blood test evidence and no factual questions involved in that.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the first cause, and the court will now take a brief recess.